Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the AURN podcast. And I'm here. I just had to have a moment to say that.
Finally.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They kept me in the closet. You know what I'm saying? But the original trio is back.
Woo!
You know, I'm Jay Hall. I got to introduce myself again because it'd be like that sometimes. Hello to the beautiful Star Rock.
Yeah.
And your earrings are fly, too. We wanted to tell you that.
Woman-owned business. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So y'all gonna have to check out, like, depending on how you listening to this, if y'all not watching it, y'all gonna have to check out the video on YouTube so you can see these fly earrings.
Yeah, they are fly. Yeah, you got them. Cool.
A black unicorn.
Yeah, yeah. And hello to you too, brother.
It's your boy Jonathan Elias. It has been a minute. We have missed you here.
Appreciate you, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah,
I saw Creed not too long ago, so I'm feeling real brotherly.
Okay,
my brother's giving. I'm like, I'm receiving it, man.
There you go. Listen, we giving it.
Thank you. Right. It's just like, you know, it's like, I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I need to be missed sometimes.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
How's everybody doing? How's everybody life?
Lifing.
Okay. It is. We're not even gonna make no secret about it. We are coming fresh off the Oscars from last night.
Yes.
Jonathan was at the after party.
I was not. I would not have been here.
So tell us, was Angela Bassett venting last night?
Listen, she did the thing, but she was. I'm already know. Auntie should have listened. We'll get into that.
We can let's start.
But like, man, the look on her face.
I was gonna say, your reaction to her reaction was what?
Just hurt. Mm. It was hurt. Yeah, my reaction was just like, damn. Like, you could really tell that she knew that she had the chance, you know, and I think everybody else did, which is why they had, what's her name, you know,
the lady who did the Angela Bassett did the thing. And I can't remember her name right now, unfortunately, because she won an Oscar.
She did last year. She did. First woman of LGBTQ colored or some, you know, to win that thing. So which was really dope, but it was a moment that was supposed to be had that did not have it, and it was very hurtful.
And I changed the channel shortly after that.
Same
that
here.
That was your reaction. You that changed the channel.
Same here.
Okay.
Same.
I was like, oh. Because, I mean, you know, no shade to
Jamie Lee Curtis. She deserved it, too. It was a great
You know who we're talking for.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the Oscars have this history that when we find ourselves rooting for this one particular actor, they tend to give it to somebody who's like been around for a long time and never really got their Oscar before.
Right.
You know, I was doing some research before then. I remember slightly, but I was reading, everybody was looking forward to Samuel Jackson winning for Pulp Fiction.
Oh yeah.
And then they gave it to this older Caucasian male at the time who was in some film who had been around for a long time. Like, they literally have a track record of doing it. Now, I don't know if Jamie Lee Curtis have ever done anything Oscar-worthy that people were upset about besides Hot in the Closet for Michael Myers, but...
Freaky Friday?
Maybe, you know.
I'm just playing.
What she won for?
Everything.
All the way. I actually saw that movie.
That was good.
The movie itself was excellent.
It was ridiculous.
It was, and she really
I felt like I was on crystal
it.
Meth when I was watching that. Like, my brain
what
was
would
all
you know
kind
of. What crystal meth is like, brother?
I don't know. That's
tell
exactly
everybody
how
we don't do drugs
like.
Tests here. That's what it is. I'm like,
literally, every hallucinogen or whatever, I felt like I was on it.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I have done Molly before, but.
Molly, ma'am, if that's who your friends are, I'm trying to save you here.
Listen, we've all lived. Yeah, we've all lived. Look,
the worst I did was edible.
My body does not like foreign substances. So, like, even without like liquor, I'm very much a lightweight. Like, it just makes me feel crazy.
Yeah, me too.
So you would not fit in the Hollywood Coke party.
Because
this is a cocaine table, for what I heard. Black dust.
I grew up in Harlem, I'm an 80s baby.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So I have a different, No, that ain't what we're doing. I'm just saying, you know, we've lived.
I joke about it.
Saying, like, if I saw a table of Coke, I would just be like, okay, y'all.
Yeah, it's the same thing with me. I came up in a different era. The first time I saw, because I like to feel like Hollywood Coke is different from regular Coke.
Yeah,
because Hollywood Coke, to quote Cat Williams, they do it right in front of you.
They do.
And it is the wildest I've thing ever. And it could be during breakfast, at a brunch. Yeah.
I have. Recreational.
Shout out to Angela Bassett.
It all comes together.
Coke, Angela Bassett.
It all goes together.
Have some of your best ideas. You know, people are changing the views on mushrooms.
No, yeah, mushrooms. A lot of my friends. Yeah, but I've not tried that. Those types of stuff I'm scared of because, you know, I just don't. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that when you saw her face reaction. It felt like you were hallucinating.
There you go.
Because it's really seconds when they call someone's name.
If I see her in person, I'm going to feel like I'm hallucinating. She's someone I've never seen in person.
They were already tweeting that she should have been grateful and she should have applauded. What?
And y'all should...
Get, right.
Which one was the more of an upset, Angela Bassett or Beyonce not getting album
what?
Of the year?
Is that, no, Angela Bassett.
Angela Bassett? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Angela Bassett? No, by far. Because she deserved it. For at least for me, I think she deserved it more from What's Love Got to Do with It.
I mean, you did your
your viral clip. Mm-hmm. You know,
We're still hurt over What's Love Not to Do with It. Her not winning the Oscar for that. And the thing that's so wild is that, respectfully, the people who win over them, we don't even remember who these. What these?
Well, I do
were.
Remember who it was.
It was it the was piano.
The mute and deaf lady. What's her name? Mark. I forget what's her name.
I think it was the movie was called The Piano, though.
I'm like that. But she was like deaf.
But the reason why we're doing this right now
right.
is because
it's not Angela
that's
Bassett.
That's my point.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like the reason why we're stuttering along, like some of these winners, we're like, yo, who won that? We know that they, like when Kendrick Lamar didn't win, like I don't remember who won over him. I just know he didn't win.
Right.
And when Angela Bassett, she's been putting in work. And the thing I love about Angela Bassett is every movie doesn't have to be about her all the time.
Right.
She literally commands the stage every single time. But on a high note, Ruth E. Carter did win an Oscar, her second Oscar, and she's the only black woman to win two Oscars in all that history. We're still celebrating first.
And she went to
crazy.
She did. And she won it for Black Panther 1 before, and she won it for Wakanda Forever.
I mean, you know, I said, okay.
I'm trying to be, you know, nice. So shout out to her. It wasn't all technically bad, but Angela Bassett not winning. I mean, that's speech in Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
Have I not lost everything and everything? Yeah. You know, I mean, I heard you on the last podcast when you was talking about Woman King, about the accents throwing you off.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Angela Bassett's?
Same.
Okay, but you still want her to win.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
And there you go.
Come on. Yeah.
We got some work to do on these diaspora guys.
Yes,
and
yes,
I'm not just
yes,
talking about African accents, Caribbean. Even like, because sometimes when I hear people on TV that are from New York, I'm like, what is this?
Jasmine Guy on Harlem.
Oh,
I cannot
God.
Stand that Jamaican accent.
On what?
On Harlem.
Oh,
Megan
she's
Good
on
Harlem.
Okay.
And they had Rick Fox on there.
Rick
Fox. He was doing it too.
Stop.
So even with that, when you had that criticism, you're able to still see that.
Oh, absolutely.
But then you're still able to say, yo, this performance should have won.
Yeah.
Should we still care is my question when it comes to these Oscars. Should we still care? We have all these other awards.
Yes, we should.
Right? We got the Essence Awards.
Yeah.
Who else? NAACP's.
All award shows are lit. I've never been to the Oscars. I have been to some BET Awards.
I've been to BET, Soul Train.
Okay. So should we still care?
Yes, we should.
Okay. Why?
Because, I mean, at that point, like, when you throw in Oscar-nominated or Oscar-winning, you know, Grammy-nominated, Grammy-winning, like, they don't say BET Award-nominated, you know? That accolade right there, that title literally will get you a whole new career, you know? So it's respected everywhere. It's unfortunate that we have to care about it like that, but we do have to care about it.
Okay. Star, should we still care?
Right.
So, yeah, it's This is a hard one. Ultimately, you shouldn't, but I mean, I live in reality.
It's reality.
The reality is you do care. You, if you're an actor, you want to, because like when you get awards, then that means you're the standard. So like other actors coming up, when they're studying who to emulate mm-hmm. or who to take cues from, oh, this is this Oscar award winning actress, and I should look at how she does breath control, how she does continuity, or whatever the different things. And so, in short, yes. I personally don't. But
do you not?
Yeah, I'm saying I don't. But
right. That's the thing. You know, we all say that. And it's like, why? Because if...
I'll say this, right, from a culture standpoint, when you look back on some of the classic movies that we love, like Best Man, technically didn't premiere number one, didn't make a lot of movies, right. But it's had, as a franchise... We're all locked in, right?
In context of the culture, sorry to cut you off, but
no,
that
ain't.
Is very true.
It's cool.
it's all good.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to be a black actor, or I don't want to be seen as.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. You want to be in a bunch of different types of projects.
Yeah.
But I think black culture, it's real. And sometimes we don't want people who don't understand it judging and grading and.
Yeah,
so there's a lane. There's
I'm only, I was only leading to that, you know, from a culture standpoint, we still love them. But I do feel like if you're going to say that this is for everybody, that's why I'm holding you accountable for it. Right. So if your awards was called like at the Country Music Awards, I'm not looking for Jay-Z to win because they're telling me this is for country music. Right. So if you're telling me that the Oscars is supposed to be for everyone, I'm forever going to hold you accountable. Now, if you say, yo, this is the white Oscars, you may have some issues, but, you know, that's just how I feel. But it's all about accountability when it comes to that. Angela Bassett will forever be a queen regardless.
Yes.
Right. So it's our celebration for her is always going to continue.
Yes.
And speaking of celebration, we are sitting in Women's History Month right now as we speak.
Wait, so what's the history of it, though? You
Women's History Month? Well, I was Googling on my way here because on the thread, we was all saying, what's the origin? And it started off, from my understanding and paraphrasing, as a Women's History Week first.
Got it.
Right? And first, I think it was in, like, 1911, and then it was, like, silent all the way up until the 60s, and someone or an activist had brought it back up. And then it was being celebrated for a week. Former President Jimmy Carter had signed it for a week, and then it expanded to a month. Yeah. And, you know, just the same as, like, Black History Month, when someone says, why we got to get these short months, months, it's always the same thing. It's like there's a reasoning why the flag has been planted on these particular days. So that's the origin of it.
And it's a start. I mean, people don't know a lot of things about women's history, a lot of reasons why women have been second-class citizens since the founding of this country. Women weren't even able to get credit cards until 1974.
That's wild.
Like that. We all know someone that was born in the 70s.
Like it wasn't. It wasn't that long ago.
So, but yeah, and I want to segue into some of the speaking of women. I am, you know, I've been getting compliments today. talk about these earrings. So these earrings,
it's rap too.
Women's brand.
Yeah.
Rap. So this is these are Melody Asani. Small women-owned business, wrapped by a woman named Amija J. Mill. And this, like, stellar cardigan is by Dresden Lala. So these are all nice. Women brands. None of this was intentional, by the way. Like, this is just how I shop, how I dress. So shout out to small women's businesses. And speaking of small women's businesses, last week I went to a dinner hosted by a company called Vive Healthcare. I don't know if it's a women's business per se, but it's definitely like women are the faces of it. Mm-hmm. And the point of the dinner was kind of helping us in the room, like people in media, people in entertainment, because Tinashe was there, T.S. Madison was there, a model named Mars Lovejoy hosted. And the point of it was to get us kind of started having conversations about, not to take a turn, but we do have to take a turn, about HIV and AIDS in the black community. Mm-hmm. Black people are still among the highest rates of diagnoses. Mm-hmm. That's even worse in the South. And it's even worse with black women. And it's time that we do something about this. I mean, there are many factors for it. Lack of healthcare, lack of education, and stigma.
Yeah.
There was a doctor there, Dr. Kimberly Smith. And she said a lot of her patients that she's encountered over the years were women who were in long-term relationships with men. So there's something that's amiss. We're not, and that's not the only group. That's not to like you know, demonize any one particular group, but it's just, the point is we need to have these conversations. So the program is Risk to, I lost it. I got to look it up. It's, I think it's a hashtag that we should be using if we are a part of this discussion, Risk to Reasons. Oh. And what you can do is you can go to Vive Healthcare, download some workbooks. The workbooks come in different types so that you can use one with yourself, use one with a partner, use one with your healthcare provider. And the whole point of it is to teach you how to think about who you are, what you like, how to combine discussions about desire and pleasure with your healthcare, and how to open up these discussions with friends, and what to say to a healthcare provider, how to find a healthcare provider that you feel listens to you and respects you, because that's one part of it too, right? Like the racism in the healthcare community. So yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because the stats are heartbreaking and we need to do something about it. We can do something about it. Another piece of this is policy. I'm not necessarily that well versed in politics to go into that too deeply, but for sure holding our legislators accountable for the decisions they're making that affect healthcare, that affect us and the access to education. It's a lot.
Mm. But that is part of Women's History Month, everything you're saying. It's not a pivot at all, because women suffering for, you know, catching AIDS from their partners, that's a real thing. I mean, it happened in my neighborhood. It happened in my neighborhood growing up. Women were catching STDs or catching AIDS from their husbands or from their long-term partners, and it's still going on to this day. That is a part of the history on top of the accomplishments. Us treating women better when it comes to their health care, mm-hmm. and their choices and their right to protect and do with their bodies as please, that's a real thing, and that's part of the history right there. So I am glad that you brought that up. Thank you very much.
No woo.
Yeah. This is what we got. I thought we had a sound effect. Oh,
we do.
Yeah.
Oh, you're laughing.
This is the laugh. Oh, just laugh. Lord. Just like, just now you want to clap.
Damn.
Oh, please. You know, now you want to clap about it. What would you say something that we can do to honor Women's History Month moving forward continuously?
I think, so not to be that person, but I think women's history is really every day. I mean, of course, we can take advantage of the month when people are tuned into it to kind of think about something we can put forward. But I feel like everywhere around you, women are a treasure trove of information. Talk to your mom. Talk to your grandma. Talk to them about, like how I just said, like women couldn't even get it. I think the Credit Card Act was for women was signed in 1974. Talk to them about what that was like, mm-hmm. right? We need to get these stories and pass these stories on and just listen to women, like not on some fad stuff, but if a woman is saying, hey, this is misogynistic, and if you genuinely don't understand why, find out why and figure out how you can be better, how we can be better at communicating with each other. Like, it's just about honesty and accountability for all of us, honestly.
Yeah. You?
What?
How you feel about it, brother, as far as celebrating it, honoring it?
I mean, listen, I was raised by, I thank God I had both parents, but mainly my mom, you know, and her sisters. So anything to honor women, I for me at least, being first generation in the United States, the way I would honor is to ask about my culture, the women behind my culture. With the Eritreans, most of the soldiers were women. And I grew up with my mom being very active in the Eritrean, the politics and stuff. And I grew up remembering we would bring Eritrean women that were soldiers that were either blinded from explosions or, you know, they're very badly injured to where they brought them to America. And we would have them at our house and kind of like get their life started. I remember growing up, I was in elementary school. We took Mana, that was her name. She was blind from an explosion, took her to like the blind school, got her situated, you know, got her whole life situated. So little stuff like that, I feel like, you know, especially if you have a culture, if you have a background where you can learn more about the women that kind of shaped their country or your country, I think, you know, we need to take advantage and learn. Just like you said, talk to your parents. So for me, I'm talking to the first generationals out there. learn about your history, learn about the women in your history, because those are stories that are buried, but I'm sure you can find, you know, a lot of stories and history behind it. So
yeah, it's always wild how growing up as men, we are first witnessing Black women do all these amazing things, right? Mm-hmm. From wars, from other countries, right. From wars in the country. Mm-hmm. And then somehow, when we become adults, we tend to forget that.
Yeah.
And it becomes this argument that she can't lead a household and the woman can't do this. And it's like, yo, your mom really just fought the whole United States government to get this roof paid. And now all of a sudden, she's not qualified to do all these things. And I try to find, and I struggle, how does that get lost from witnessing that? You know, how does that get lost from seeing all these amazing Black women do their thing and then becoming a full-grown adult man and not even want to barely even acknowledge it and it become this gender conversation? Of course, we all got different experiences. So I would never try to, like, match my experience all the way with yours. Just like same with us. We have similarities, but I won't try to completely match it. But to try to take away certain things that doesn't necessarily require a gender, like your leadership should be about your character, like who you are, how do you navigate in these things. And you have a story, I have a story, and we witness that. And then you have men who come up of age and they're just like dismissive of that. They don't want to hear it. They get upset about it. They're angry about it. Oh, she's over too masculine and she's this and this. But it's like, yo, it's like, but there's a whole history going on. There's a present day history going on that's happening that. And that's the part that's still, you know, with that, my try to move forward in Women History Month would be kind of what you said. Like, I recognize I was raised in a culture that was conditioned for me to behave a certain type of way, even before I became more aware of misogyny and sexism. Right. So even with me trying to advocate for that, I can still be checked.
Yeah.
Because there are times I might say or do something. Right. And my homegirl will say, yo, what are you doing? And I got to lean in and listen. Or I might see something online. I'm like, that's not sexist. Oh, damn, that's sexist. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's just what it is.
There was, this has happened off and on, but, like, every now and then you'll see this question on Twitter where a woman is asking other women how old they were when they started getting catcalled. And I would see, like, men in the replies, like, this can't be true, because people were, like, 11, 12.
That is very true. 12.
That is very true.
So, stuff like that. Like, if we're
you're nasty.
Right?
Yeah.
It's dialogue. Honesty, dialogue, and it should stick. Like, I think sometimes people get caught up in, well, I don't have rights either, or this happened to me, and you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't foster conversation. Like, sometimes it's good to know when it's time to just sit and listen.
Shut up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It shouldn't have to be these layers of, like, comparison in that.
Right.
You know, women have always been remarkable in my life, even when I ain't been shit. You know, even when I had to, like, get older and mature, I mean, women that literally carried me, been patient with me, grace and everything of that nature, right? And they keep giving me, I'm on my 65 second chance now, you know, trying to be a better person for all the women that contributed to my life.
Right.
So it's like, it's a path and it's a journey that we all have to take in acknowledging that. But women's history should be celebrated all year, but there is something special about having that one benchmark to say, yo, you know, boom, and just say, yo, thank you.
Yeah, for that. For sure.
That, you know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing. So I love it for it, although it would have been nice for Angela Bassett to kind of win that.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? We would have capped out, like, really, really good. But I'm pretty sure we all going to have our own celebration. She's still Angela Bassett when she woke up the next day. She's still going to be our queen, and we're going to run out to see whatever film she's going to be in that, you know. But moving.
Before we do.
I was going,
look. Y'all gotta start giving Angela Bassett her flowers for An American Dream, because that wasn't in your video when she played Katherine Jackson. All right.
Wasn't that?
I'm sorry. See, I said Oscar. That was a movie. That was a TV movie.
Guess what?
So she should have won an Emmy for that.
She should have.
Okay.
She should have.
I'm not mad at that.
I want y'all to know that.
It was in my article that I wrote that's on AURN.
There you go. Okay. All right. Then. We want you no more.
Yeah. I heard you.
Hey, that's one of my favorite movies, man. Like that whole series. Golly.
Yeah.
It's about 2 days. It takes about 2 days to watch that whole thing.
But it does.
Yeah, it's worth it. So y'all check that out too.
Yeah, that's all I want to say. But you're talking about it, but that's real. She's been in our culture for so long. She's played these iconic figures. I mean, it's like, yo,
she's gonna get her time. She's gonna get it,
and we're gonna always honor her with that. Yeah. You know. Yeah, she's a legend. She's a legend, and on and continuing the path of legends. There was a legend that released a comedy special just a few weeks or a couple weeks ago, whenever this would air. And that's the Chris Rock Selective Outrage comedy special.
Man, oh man.
And, you know, as we're talking about what we were going to talk about in this episode, whatever, you know, Jonathan, you really, this was like one of your first ones. I mean, we'll throw that to you real quick.
Yeah, you know, that was a special, you know what I mean? We've all been waiting to hear what Chris Rock is going to say. No. I mean, a lot of people were ready. Right. A lot, you know, like just waiting to hear just anything, you know, because he hadn't really. I mean, it is kind of weird, you know, to come out like a whole year later with it. It's just time has passed. I totally agree.
I don't think so when it comes to that. Not. I don't think a time has passed. You know, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have been mad at him for waiting a little bit longer. He was already on tour. It's just to provide context. He was already on tour. We might have forgotten
when
it was him and Kevin Hart. They were already on tour. He was already working material.
Got you.
To do a special because he had the Netflix deal, which, Jesus, I wish Netflix would pass us a check because I just keep hearing, you know what I'm saying? Come but on. He was already working a deal. So when that happened, that increased the hype to have people actually go to the shows. And that's why some jokes were leaking, which I'm not a fan of because comedians work material live.
A lot of them are intentional about having people.
That's why. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why. So I just wanted to provide that, you know, in that he was already on tour. So this special was going to be what it is, but obviously there's been some switch.
Yeah, but I'm not going to hold you. I would have been even more disrespectful. You slapped me on national TV. So for the people that were like, oh my God, he cut in a little too deep. And I would have been talking about your mother, your grandmother. I would have been talking about everybody. You slapped me on TV?
Mm-hmm. You said that like I'm about to slap you. I'm not.
Look,
just want to let you know I'm over here.
Listen,
I'm pretty cool.
I'm talking about Jada, not the man who slapped him.
I mean, no, you talked about both. I mean, you talked about that. Well, and then I mean, him talking about Jada is basically selective outrage it's not.
All right, so how about this, Jonathan? You went into watching the special feeling what, and you came out of it feeling what?
You know, I mean, it was just really that whole situation was real. Tough for me because I was on Will's side, and then I thought about it and I was like, well, you took a lot, you know, you took a whole moment away from Questlove. You handled it the wrong way. So I'm like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but now I'm like, damn, we're adults, and like, you know, now we gotta work, you know, we have to be professional. So I'm like, I was going back and forth. I was never really on Chris Rock's side though.
Okay.
Like, he's annoying. I mean, he's like the parrot from Aladdin to me. Like, it's just
wow, yeah, that's a hell of the parrot is annoying. But go ahead. Continue.
So, but like, then I put myself in his shoes and I'm like,
cuz you do this.
Yeah, I do this, you know, but I'm not a comedian, but I do respect comedians because they have to, you know, hit it where, you know, sometimes it might be, it's going to be stuff that the normal person would not say, you know, and that's what they do. So it's just real difficult for me, you know, but like, I mean, he had to say what he had to say. And it was a little tough to watch though. It was awkward for me.
Okay.
It was a little awkward.
Okay. Star.
You know? Chris Rock is not the comedian for me. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't necessarily. I think the last thing I really found funny that he did, and this is so juvenile, like when he did that No Sex in the Champagne Room.
Oh,
wow. Like,
honestly, that was
a long,
wow. I shouldn't even be watching that at that time. Anyway.
No, you should not.
Right.
Now that I really know what it means as an adult.
But
you see how y'all, you come like, what you watching? Right. You're grounded forever.
Right.
I have not. I guess like layered feelings about the whole thing. Like, so when Chris Rock made the joke, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm not someone who feels, I don't necessarily think comedians should be censored. Like, I'm not necessarily with that. Like, even if they say things that I don't like, I'm just like, all right, well, I just won't watch them again. Like,
that part,
I'm not even bother wasting time.
You don't hate watch.
Yeah, like, I don't hate watch. Will Smith, my only thing with him was he could have just waited until the after party. Like, honestly.
Right, that's, see.
That's what he felt he needed to do. I'm not even going to be like, oh, that was dead wrong. That was, you know, you could have, like, he just kind of ruined the whole moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, could have just waited till after party. But Chris Rock, for me, waiting a whole year and then, like, the stuff that he said, it just, it didn't give. Like, it could have been, it could have been more ether. Like, if you want to go that way, I really
It could
to.
Have been more ether, for
but
sure.
I also don't
and
like
he fucked
that.
Up a joke.
Yeah, he messed up the joke. And I just feel like he's coming from a malicious place. Like, it's giving.
Well, what other place would you come from after you get
Well, that's the thing about it, though, right?
Well, no, I get that. Like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
If you slap me, I'm
yeah, and that's why I say I don't think a year was too long.
Well, first off, you slap me, I'm slapping you back right there. So it's just gonna be
hello.
Cold.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm taking my mic and blocking you in
the
throat.
Not
boom. It's gonna happen right away.
Boy.
See,
but like,
but see. If I could, I was just saying that that's why I don't feel like a year was too long, because to what you both just said, he obviously isn't ready to really talk about it completely. Right. You know what I mean? And in that moment, that was the one time where I saw something live as it happened. Like, I was in a hotel room in Philly working a job, and I saw that live. And I don't know what I would have did. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Right.
I really don't know what I would have did. Because as someone who hosts, or you know what I'm saying, I don't know what I would
have
did in that moment.
Have you been in a physical altercation where someone, like kind of sucker punch you or sucker
absolutely
you.
yeah most definitely. I got hit so hard one time I didn't even know what we was fighting over. I totally forgot, because it came from a different direction. I was arguing with the guy in front of me, and it was
here.
Like boom, and
same
I was like, yo, why we fighting, brother?
I, you know, literally, why we fighting? Literally did the same thing that happened to me at Made in America. I'll never forget. It was the year that Beyonce had performed. She had the Shortcut, and I remember we were trying to get through a crowd to, because Beyonce about to come on. And my best friend had a spot for us, and me and my homegirl Sierra, we walk in, and some guy like pushed her and was like, "Hey, B," like, but said the, you know, the B word, and I was like, "Why would you call her that?" And he was like, "What you gonna do about it?" So I was like, "Where's all this coming from?" And like, I did get a little angry, and then as I started walking up, somebody slapped me from the side and slapped my sunglasses off.
Not the sunglasses.
I said, I picked them up, I gave them to Sierra, and I knocked both of them out. And then that was the last time I fought in public like that, because somebody came up to me and was like, "Weren't you hosting 106 in Park?" Literally right after that. And
see, that feeling that you have after all these years, right, and it still resonates with you in some form, is definitely resonating with someone like a Chris Rock, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it was a trilogy. I read Will Smith's book, Will. Then I saw the slap, and I'm seeing Chris Rock's Selective Outrage, right? In Will Smith's book, he talks about how he had felt like a coward his entire life because he didn't defend his mother when his father was beating on him. And then he also admits that he had like a lot of bitch made, you know, qualities in him, because he's always pretending to be someone. So when I saw the slap, I saw like an explosion of a man, right?
I immediately saw that was personal.
Yeah, it was. And it wasn't about Chris. You know what I mean? Now, when I say in comparison, Chris Rock, you know, him being a legend, objectively speaking, right? He's a legend in the culture as far as when it comes to comedy and the things he's done. Was this one for me like his best? I think Trampoline, I think that was the one he did before. I think that one was like excellent as far as like a growing process.
This was far from his best. Wait,
no, but
I've been talking smack about Jada since the 90s.
But see, here's the thing though, when it comes to that for me is still kind of up, because everyone keeps saying that, but I don't ever see it.
No,
like, you know what I mean? And for me,
there's an interview that she did on the Chris Rock show where he was basically mocking her, and you could tell even there she was kind of like, can I get my points across? I mean, it's there.
And
it's
listen, and I can't dispute any of that, because so I don't
that was personal.
I don't know those people when it comes to that. And I do feel like if I get slapped, I'm effing you, F you and your whole crew. I do have a Tupac in me of like, you know, I probably would have went in on Jada, your mama's
that's
mama,
what I said.
The kids,
listen,
everybody
could catch you.
And the part that's always bothering me is like everyone has these, I didn't realize how much of a cultural divide it had taken, because everyone had this personal thing they standing on when it comes to it.
There is.
Oh no, there's definitely misogyny involved, but you know, Will was acting like a bitch when it come to that. You know what I'm saying?
And he
probably should have. But at the end of the day, it's like if you slap me and I feel a certain type of way, I understand to what Jonathan was saying, the anger going, and I'm mentioning everybody in that. Like I get that.
Disrespectful.
I'm still a work in progress. I'm having
same
I
here.
Got, I haven't got
Look,
to that part
not,
yet.
Not
in life.
Saying that it was right.
Yeah. I thought the Selective Outrage as a comedy special, I thought it was just good. Because I do think we're in an era where if something's not a classic, it's trash. I just thought it was just good, but it's not something I'm going to argue for, remember or something like that. I need to watch again. And when I watch comedy shows, I don't laugh because I'm so engaged in what they're saying. I'm slow when it comes to comedy. I have to watch things like four or five times to really get it. They're doing more like a Dave Chappelle kind of.
Yeah. Like a speech, for lack of a better.
It has elevated. Yeah. You're not going to do the slapstick with some of these comedians, especially now that they're getting older.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when I see the special itself and how he delivered it, you know, he made some points. I think it's something to be watched again. And I get it. And I do feel like at this point, someone like a Chris Rock, who's been around for so long, you either like him or you don't.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I don't understand nobody. Maybe I'm just getting old. I don't understand nobody in the era watching something that you don't like. Watching a person you don't like. Going to a movie to see a star you don't like. Buying an album that you don't like. I don't get it. But that's fine.
Did you see Marlon Wayans special, though?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't.
And it was on all three of them.
I saw his take on it, though. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was on all three. But that's, you know, that's just where it is. So, yeah, I appreciate us. Appreciate y'all having me back. You know, y'all kept me in that closet.
What are you talking about, having me back?
I was in the closet for a long time. They kept me locked up. That's what it is. I didn't pay my taxes.
Right.
But, nah, man, it's always wonderful to come back. I definitely appreciate it. Anybody got any work or shout outs they want to give before we close out?
I did my first sex scene on the show.
That's how we kick off, boy.
Yeah, yes. And I'm a little nervous. We won't get too into details, but just know that my sock fell off and it was an interesting moment. But yeah, stay tuned.
Is that why the beer got a glow, son?
That's exactly why.
Okay. All right, Star. You don't have a sex scene, girl, but I'm pretty sure you got something.
I'm working on some articles that will appear on AURN.com and will probably be out by the time this comes out. I'm doing a kind of like a retrospective of Black women in streetwear, the history of us. And it's called Streetwear Now, but when a lot of us were coming up, it was just how we dress, right? Like, if you were into hip-hop or lived in a certain urban area. But, like, we're talking about all the things, like Misa Hylton and how, like, Mary J. Blige, for example, she used to rock the biker shorts with the bras.
Yeah.
And blazers. Like,
yeah, that's
how
dope.
We're originators. So,
that's dope.
Yeah, that's coming soon.
Yeah, I'm just trying to match all my deadlines. So you can always hit me up on my Twitter at JR Society, and I'll put my work out there because I'm just trying to make my deadlines.
That part.
That's about it. But I appreciate this. Has been another episode of AURN Podcast. We appreciate you checking in.
Find us all on the socials. We're very easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we ghost.
Peace.
Buenos Dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.